Exodus chapter 3, easy to find, it's near the front of your Bible. I want to talk about Moses' life-changing experience with God at the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock on the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. He said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Lord, thank you for your word. Pray that you would bless it to our hearts and our understanding this morning. Guide us, guide me, Lord, as you would speak through me, I pray. We just give you the praise and the glory. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, no doubt if you watch a lot of news these days, and I hope you don't watch a whole lot of news, because if you watch a whole lot of news, it's pretty depressing, isn't it? So don't watch a whole lot of news, but it seems, so much more and more the uncertainty of tomorrow, the concepts of safety and security that we used to enjoy in this nation not guaranteed and certainly should not be taken for granted. As a matter of fact, we should appreciate more and more that we do live in the United States, and that even though things have changed so dramatically in the past few years, it seems like it all started with 9/11, doesn't it? The whole world changed at that point, and it seemed that things were more unpredictable and uncertain. It also seems like when that happened, and the message is not about that this morning, but when that happened, it seemed like we just all fell into a different groove all of a sudden. There are some things that we just watch out for more now than we did then. Our radar is up, you might say. Our alert status is a little more up, and it's been that way. Unpredictable and uncertain. Now Moses, he probably thought his life was pretty much safe and predictable. I mean, he had his family. His wife, Zipporah, who was the daughter of a priest at Midian. Things were going pretty good. Moses ended up in this region of the country because of something that he had done in the past. You see, he had killed an Egyptian who he walked up on that was mistreating his Hebrew brothers. And so Moses just acted on an impulse, you might say, and he killed this Egyptian. And he thought no one knew it, what he had done. But later, he was faced with a couple of other Hebrew men, same situation. They were just fighting among themselves, and Moses walked up to stop the fight, and they looked at him and said, what are you going to do, Moses? You going to kill us like you did the Egyptian? Those things don't stay secret forever, do they? Those, you can't keep a lid on some things, and the word had already gotten out, even back to the Pharaoh in Egypt. And Moses was scared, and suddenly his life was turned upside down when he came to this realization that Pharaoh had found out. And now Pharaoh was wanting to take Moses' life for what he had done to the Egyptian. So Moses ran. He ran to the land of Midian, where perhaps maybe he could find a peaceful life there. He met a woman who would become his wife. He settled down in the land, and he began to work for his father-in-law, shepherding the sheep. It's interesting that Moses was shepherding the flock. All throughout the Bible, it's talked about shepherding. Moses here spent 40 years as a shepherd in Midian. David was also a shepherd who became a king. God loves to use shepherds and even refer to himself as a shepherd at one time. And then ultimately Jesus, the good shepherd, would lay down his life for his sheep. His sheep were you and me. And so here's Moses tending his sheep. His life is peaceful, it's content, it's happy. Then there was an event that changed everything. There was an event, a life-changing event that altered everything for him. He was on the west side of the wilderness, it says there in Mount Horeb, called the Mountain of God. And there was a bush that was on fire. And I would imagine Moses probably stood and looked at that bush on fire, first wondering maybe why was it on fire? Had somebody set it on fire? But the more he looked at it, the more he noticed it wasn't burning up. That was something very unusual, right? We see something on fire, it usually either the fire goes out or it gets whatever it's burning is consumed, but it doesn't keep burning. And so Moses saw this, strange to say the least, but it was an amazing event. Scripture teaches us that fire represents the presence of God. Sometimes I wished God's people, well, I don't wish, I just long for God's people to get on fire for God. That's a lot of things, a lot of preacher wishes, I guess, isn't it, Melon? We want to see God's people on fire for Him. But God represents fire in Scripture. Later in the book of Exodus, God leads His people by a pillar of fire. Fire is used in the temple of God. And God is in the fire on Mount Sinai when the Ten Commandments were given. Fire in the tabernacle. God's Spirit, we read about in the book of Acts, was tongues of fire. The Spirit descended on the people. God's presence was in the fire. Moses said later in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24, says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. He's a jealous God." Fire is appropriate. Seems like we're drawn to fire. We see fire and we want to know why, and we want to know what's going on, and we're amazed by it even. We tell children not to play with fire, don't we? Don't play with fire. It's dangerous. It's serious. And God, as a fire, is to be taken serious, is He not? God is fire. He is holy. Don't play around with fire. Don't play games with God. That's the way I see that. It's serious. It's not a game. God is fire. So Moses is approaching the bush, and he finds out that he can't come very close. Since God is holy, how are we to be accepted by a holy God? How are we to be accepted by a holy God? Since if we draw near to Him and He's a consuming fire, how are we to get close to Him? Well, the only way we can get close to a holy God is by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus can we come into God's presence. Jesus is our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He is our redemption. He's our only way to salvation. There's not many ways to salvation. There's not many ways to get saved. There's not many ways. There's one way. There's just one way. Jesus is our salvation. And if you know Jesus as your Savior this morning, He's everything to you. He's everything to me. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then you can't draw near to God. The Scripture teaches us that. As a matter of fact, you not only can you not draw near to God, but at this moment you're about as far away from God as anybody can be, because you don't know Jesus. You haven't made a decision to accept Jesus. Trust Jesus is the message this morning. Trust Jesus. Back to the burning bush scene. Here's Moses. He's walking up to this phenomenon, this strange thing that he's never seen before. And he begins to walk up to the bush, and God calls out to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." May I remind you this morning that if you're saved, there was a time when Jesus called out to you and He called you by name. There was a time when you heard His voice. Now, it likely wasn't an audible voice like you're hearing me speak this morning, but Jesus called out to you. You heard Him from your heart. He called me by name when it was time for me to be saved, time for me to give my heart to Jesus. He called me by name and I answered His call. And so if you're saved this morning, there was a time when you heard God call out to you. He called out to you. He said, "Sonny, Sonny, Melon, Drew." God called out to you and He saved you. The question is, has He called out to you? He's calling to you today. 1 Peter 2:9, Peter said, "God has called us out of His darkness and into His marvelous light." Isn't that great? God called you out of darkness. Yes, you're in darkness before you get saved. You are. You're in darkness. And God is calling you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God called out to Moses and told him not to come any closer and to remove his sandals because he was standing on holy ground. There's a gap there, isn't there? There's a gap between God and sinful man. And the only way that you can approach God, the only way that you can close that gap is Jesus. There's no other way to close the gap. Notice how God identified Himself in verse 6. He says, "I am the God of your father. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob." You notice God said, "I am." He didn't say, "I was." He didn't say, "I used to be." But so, you see, all these guys are dead now. They're gone from the earth. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so God said to Moses, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I am." It's not that He said, "I was the God, their God when they were living." No, God is still, to this day, He's still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's still the God of my parents who have been gone for several years now. And he's still the God of my grandparents and my friends and my family who knew Christ and died in Christ and went to heaven. God is still their God. If God is your God through Jesus today, he'll always be your God. Amen? And that's because those who have already gone, they knew Jesus as Savior when they were here. They discovered salvation. Jesus reached out to them. Jesus called their name and they responded. God is still their God. And because Jesus is your Savior, he saved you from death and you will never die. Oh, we'll go through an event called death, but a Christian never dies. That just sprung up fresh in my soul this week as I was studying about this and thinking about this, that Christians, those who are saved, those who are in Christ, they never die. We just go through the event. Matter of fact, I'm always hoped and prayed that Jesus would come back while I was still here. And then I wouldn't have to go through the event, would I? And you wouldn't have to go through the event. He'd just come and just call us home. But where a Christian don't die, they just move home. They just move home. But there are some of my friends and family who died not knowing Christ. And there are some who will suffer a second and eternal, never-ending death in a place called hell. Yeah, there is a place called hell. As sure as there's a place called heaven, there's a place called hell. And don't fool yourself. Not everybody goes to heaven when they die. I don't know how many countless numbers of times that I have been around a grieving family, and they talk about their loved one going to heaven. And granted, I don't have any inside knowledge on who's saved and who's not. Only you know, and only God knows if you're saved, right? I can't look at you and just determine whether you are or you're not. But I am a fruit inspector. And I don't know how many times I've seen, and I've heard preachers at a funeral talk and preach this person, as they say, preach him into heaven. That don't work that way. And talk about, you know, they just went to heaven. And knowing that, me knowing how they lived their life and how they never went to church and how they never talked about Jesus, and they just didn't live the life that a Christian lives. And I had my serious doubts. Not everybody goes to heaven. Only those who know Jesus go to heaven. And Jesus has opened that door to everybody. That's the thing of it. Its salvation is open to everybody. And here's another thing, too. We might look at somebody who's lived almost looked like a perfect life. Just good people, salt of the earth people. But they've never trusted Christ as their Savior. There's a big issue with that. They don't just automatically go to heaven because they lived a good life. Not everybody does. And there's probably some wicked scoundrels that we call wicked scoundrels, you know, that trust Jesus later in life. And I've always said, when I get to heaven, that we'll be surprised at the people who made it. You know what I mean? What are you doing here? And this, if this knowledge is available to us, like I'm saying, this is my take on it. That's why I'm stepping to the side of the pulpit. There it's official, here it's not. but then be disappointed at the people we just knew they were saved. That's why we never told them about Jesus. We just knew they were saved. But maybe they even went to church. Sorry about that. I didn't do it. Bill, did you do that? He didn't do it either. Shaking his head. Lena did it. No, I said, Lena, I ain't touching nothing back here. But the thing of it is, see, maybe those people went to church all of their lives. Never really knew Jesus. Never really knew Jesus. You see, if you don't know Christ now, the Christ that you see after you die will not be your Savior. Did you know that? If you die without Christ, the Jesus that you see will be your judge. See, he's your Savior now if you accept him, but he'll be your judge later if you don't. Because you see, Jesus offered his sacrifice. He's already done everything that's necessary for our salvation. We just have to accept it. But the person that would see Jesus as a judge after they die, that's the one that maybe Jesus has offered his sacrifice to them, but they refused. He offered a way for them to approach God and to know God and have a relationship with God, but they refused. Jesus offered a way for their sins to be forgiven, which diverts God's wrath from you and offers you a way to spend eternity with God, but you refuse. There's lots of people like that, isn't there? They refuse. But let me tell you some good news. If you heard Jesus call your name and you accepted him as Savior, then God will always be your God. And when you die, the person that you will see is Jesus, your Savior. The one who took the nails for you. The one who hung on the cross for you. The one who suffered the death for your sins for you. The one who rose from the grave for you. That's the one that you'll see. The one whose blood sacrifice covers your sins and diverts the wrath of God from you. If you heard him call your name, like Moses heard God call his name from the bush. And I'm not saying that's Moses' salvation experience, but it's the same idea of God calling you by name and you accepted him as Savior, then you have eternal life and you will never die. That kind of gets us not afraid of death anymore, doesn't it? Christians, that is. John 5:24, this is one of my favorite verses of assurance. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes on him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has already passed from death into life. Because I heard his voice and I believed on him, then the sins that I had on me that would have come under judgment have passed away. And I've already passed from death to life. I have eternal life now because I know Jesus. That's solid, is it not? Already passed from death unto life. John chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he looked at her and he said, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Then a commitment is necessary, right? A commitment is necessary. God called Moses by name. Moses responded, "Here I am." He's calling your name. Will you respond to the call of God that it's extended to you one more time today? Think about that. Let's pray.